My Father, I thank you again this morning for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We can come together and address you as our Father, who is our God. And dear Lord, we thank you to know that when we exalt Jesus Christ, God is honored. The Holy Spirit has a way, as He's honored, to function in us like He's ordained to do. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we come together, the singing has set the table, and now the meal will be served spiritually. We'll walk away learning something about ourselves, about you, and about what God wants us to do this side of eternity until we see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to read one verse before I do, give you a little insight, and I'll come back to this in just a few minutes in the message. This chapter has to do when Christ has came to a certain city we know as Capernaum. He is teaching, and he's had a long day, no doubt. And there's some men who had a friend that they loved real dearly. And in their mind, they thought if they could get him to Christ, their friend had palsy, according to verse 15. And they knew if they could get him to Christ, that Jesus Christ had the power to heal this bad disease. And when they got to where he was at, a general setting, and then we'll get specific in a few minutes. When they got to where he was at, they couldn't get in. The crowd filled the house outside the house. And so they got up, went on top of the roof, began to take some of the slates out or dig into the top, and let him down inside the house in front of Christ. And when they had done that, Jesus said, he saw in verse 20, their faith. And he said unto him. Now, watch this. He didn't say he saw his faith. He said he saw their faith. Who are the ones? The four, no doubt, it took two on each end to carry him on some slab or something. They saw their faith. They were going to get him to Christ. They knew Christ had the answer. They knew that Christ would respond to faith. They had already, no doubt, trusted what he'd been saying. And so now they lower him down from the roof down before Christ. And the scripture says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man. Now, I would imagine, since he perceived about everything and knew, he knew the God's name, but he didn't give his name. You know why? Because he's speaking to anyone. Man, notice, he says simply this. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, boy, that set the Pharisees and the scribes enraged. They knew only God could forgive sin. And for the fact that he would say, man, thy sins be forgiven thee, it set them in a rage because now he's claiming to be who God is in the flesh. By the way, he's not only claiming he is God in the flesh. He can do what God, only God can do, because he's God in the flesh. And he said, because of this, who is this which speaketh blasphemy, the scribes and Pharisees? He said, who can forgive sins, they say, but God alone? By the way, they're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, this little man, a big man, or any size man inside a booth, and you sit on the other side and forgiving sins, forget it. He can't forgive your sins.
Right.
Only God can forgive our sins. And it's only through Jesus Christ, by the way, that God has chosen to do that. And so he goes on. And he said, they said unto him, but Jesus pursued, he called him blasphemer. And he said, he perceived their thoughts. And he answered and said to them, what reason ye in your heart? He knew their thinking. He said, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. I like that. He said, which is easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk? Now, I can say thy sins be forgiven. That don't mean anything to you. You're not going to listen anyhow. But when I say rise up and walk, that gets your attention. You're astonished and a little bit afraid. Rise up and walk. And when he gets up and takes his couch or his bed and starts home like the Lord said for him to do, he said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said to the palsy, sick of the palsy, I say to thee, rise, take up thy couch, and go unto thy house. And immediately he rose up. I like that. Immediately he rose up. They didn't have to send him to a doctor and check him out to make sure it's so. They didn't have to do it 3 or 4 times in case he didn't get it the first time. Amen? Immediately he got up, and the scripture says, before them, and took up that whereupon he laid. He carried his own bed away with him. That's a good sign he got healed, isn't it? Amen? And he departed into his own house, glorifying God. Now, verse 26 is the text. Watch what he says. And they were all amazed. Wouldn't you have been? Wouldn't you have been amazed? So not me. I've seen on television. Yeah, you've seen fakes, what you've seen. You tell me God does something. Hey, you know, if he can heal a man of palsy, you can raise the dead. And certainly if you raise the dead, you heal a man of palsy. Don't tell me. By the way, you can investigate this all you wanted to and it come out no other way, but God did it. Today, there's a lot of things that's done that people investigate. Then we find out 2 months later, nothing was done then when it was done. But watch, he said, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear. How can you glorify God and be filled with fear? When you see something amazement, you want to give God the praise, but not understanding and bewildered how it happened and not fully understanding how this person would have that type of power, you've got some questions. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Thank God we have the Word of God, where He can convince us anything that He does or says. And then He says, here's my topic this morning. We have seen strange things today. And this is my topic, some strange things. By the way, there's a number of times that God does strange things. Some people explain them away. Some people heed to them. Some people don't listen at all. In verse 26 is the text, some strange things. You know, it's strange today, I think, if you get people not to worry. I think everybody worries to some degree. By the way, you and I worry sometimes. We know it's a sin against God, and yet we still worry. Why? We don't have all the answers of yet. I heard something recently said there are 2 days each week that if you're going to worry, there's 2 days each week that you don't have to worry, if you're going to worry. And that is yesterday and tomorrow. And since yesterday is today's tomorrow, and tomorrow is today, why worry at all? You're wasting time. Somebody worried right now. Amen. You know what you're worried about? Where are you going to eat at today? You can't eat where you at last week. You got sick. You're going to fix it. There's a lot of things running through your mind. Strange things. On this particular day, great numbers of people spent a good part of the day in the presence of the Son of God. And when they ended up at this time, they said, we have seen strange things today. J.C. Riley said that the Greek word for paradoxy, translated strange things, is used only in this place in the New Testament. I went and got Strong's Concordance, and never thought I could find out he had to be right in looking it up. This thing about strange, paradoxy means things contrary to all common opinion and ordinary and contrary to ordinary experiences. Strange, not previously known, not previously seen or heard, unfamiliar, it's kind of from the ordinary. And they come up with what they saw Jesus do that day from the ordinary. Just not normal. He's God. And when He speaks, things happen. God's ways are not our ways. He tells us that. If you look in Isaiah 55:8, He said simply, your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I read such as that, it says to me, in this life, everything that the natural man or the lost religious man thinks about God, thinks about grace, thinks about salvation, thinks about providence, thinks about Christ, thinks about righteousness, hear me, everything they think about in these things is wrong because they're in a fallen state. And they're going after external things in their own mind, thinking they can come up with a solution somewhere or another without God. And so here, the natural man, without Jesus Christ, does not, and cannot understand the grace of God. He cannot understand the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot understand the people of God. He cannot understand the work of God until the Holy Spirit of God draws him to the Lamb of God. And when the Lamb of God comes and Holy Spirit takes residence in our heart, He opens up a whole new territory of life called spiritual life through faith in God's precious Word. So most you hear of a fallen man in this world about God is false, unless he knows Jesus Christ is Savior. You know why? So, preacher, wait a minute. I know some good people too, but you have no avenue to the true and living God without Jesus Christ. That's what this Bible believes. Well, you know, why do they? I don't know, but that's what this Bible teaches us. And the Bible is right, it's truth. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, if this is not true, we don't have anywhere to go get truth. You say, well, what about other books that have been written? Why look another book when you have the book? And we have it, and I thank God for that in this particular day. The grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are toughest. These are all strange things to those who are strangers to grace. But they're not strange to believers. If you're here and saved this morning, I talk about the grace of God, you rejoice in that, because without grace, you don't have anything. It's God's grace extended to you and I. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have anything, because He is the very essence of life. Now, I want to look at four divisions in this morning about strange things, some strange things. And it's strange. By the way, there's a lot of things you and I are doing for the Lord is strange to a lot of people. They don't agree with the modern day religious tactics they do in our particular day. Number one, watch this. Note the strange things of this particular day. What is taking place here? Here in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, what did they see on this wonder, a day of wonders here that Christ was doing? He was teaching, and he did a lot of other things. Here was a man completely paralyzed who had four friends that literally believed that Christ could touch this man and help this man if they could just get him to him. If they could somehow get their sick friend in contact with Jesus Christ, they'd have an answer. The desire. They were carrying people. You know good and well, it took some time to go get him in there. How many Baptists would have stopped out on the outside? See, what's trouble to take the roof off? Because you might take it off, might not happen anyhow. No, they knew if they get him to Christ, it's going to happen. And here again, you see that the Scripture gives us information about this story that we need to look at and understand. They were carrying people. They had love and pity for this friend. They were thoughtful. They figured out a way to get into Christ. By the way, if you're a soul winner, you're thoughtful, because God has given you a love for people that you want to, you know, if you get to Christ, there's a possibility to get saved. Without Christ, there's no possibility. That's right. So the thing about it, you try to get them there. They were zealous people. They would not be stopped. They were successful people because they got into the Lord. And I pray that God would help us find some people who care about the souls of men as they care for this man's physical condition. Because any time we care for people, even for physical condition, we ought to be concerned about their soul. In Mark 2, verse 5, they saw a man who was a sinner, freely forgiven of all sin by this God man. Here in verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said again, as I repeat myself, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Get thinking now. Never before in man's history had you had a man claim to have the divine right and authority to forgive sin. Even these Pharisees and so forth knew they didn't have that authority. They knew God could, and they referred to God. But now here's a man who takes on himself to say, thy sins are forgiven, as if he had the power to forgive their sin. Interesting. This man would forgive and could forgive sin. Simple that. Because why? He is the Son of God. This declares him. Well, I'd lay off of that a little bit. He was a good man. No, he was the Son of God. That means he's God incarnated in the flesh. This was a strange thing to these people. Now notice what happened here. When this took place, the Pharisees were enraged with hostility in their heart and mind. The Greeks stood back in astonishment, but watch, the sinner who was forgiven was filled with joy. Hey, man, see someone get saved today, someone say, oh, it'll last long. Just watch them. The same type of attitude is that there's some literally enraged. If it's a parent or loved one, you just took my child, took my loved one down there, my wife, my husband, you took them down there and just crammed that religion down them. against them. They got, you just got them brainwashed for a few minutes and got them down the aisle. That's the way Satan puts thoughts in people's mind who are not saved. And then you find on the other side, stand back, man, I ain't seen nothing like that before in my church. And then you see that person get saved. They're glorifying God. Praise God. You know, they don't mind that, you know, for a fact that something's taking place inside they can't hardly contain. And God lets it comes out in little Holy Spirit ways. Can be tears, joy, a lot of different ways that God can show that in this life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, is still in the business of forgiving sin. Today, ladies and gentlemen, all who trust Christ as their Savior, hear me, a free, complete, irreversible pardon of their sins. That's what the blood of Christ can do for you and I when we're washed in it. It's amazing. God is faithful to His Word. God is just to forgive sins from those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember over in Psalms, you look in Psalms chapter 32 with me, down about verse 1 through 5, David said this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." Verse 5, he says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Salah. He said, I confess to God my sin individually, laid them out, and God forgave me of my sin. Interesting what the power of God can do for those who literally trust Christ. Watch this strange thing. These people saw one man's forgiven, and because of the faith of other men, they're astonished that one would have this type of power. What can they say now when he says, man, forget thy sins forgiven? They can't contradict that except try to get people to think they're blaspheming, that he's blaspheming God Almighty. Which is easier, Jesus said, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, rise up and walk? Or, you know, which is easier of these two? In fact, don't take any energy out of either one of them, same energy for both. But in this particular case, this proves his deity. And nothing is hidden from him. And here you see the paralyzed man was perfectly healed before their eyes. And they were amazed. They stood in amazement. And so again, note the strange thing of this particular day. Now, that's 2,000 years ago. Let's note the strange things that's revealed in the gospel about this man who had the power to forgive sin. Had the power to even raise from the dead. The creator of men became a man. That's strange. The creator of man, which is God himself, became a man. A lot of folks can't accept that today. It's too strange for them. He that is infinite became an infant baby and laid in a manger. He that is the Son of God of the highest was known as, hear me, the Son of Mary. Strange thing, isn't it? Listen, he who is Lord of all became the servant of all. Man don't generally exalt man that way. If a man's in a high position, you serve him. And yet he who is God came to this earth, tabernacle in a body, to become the servant to you and I. What strange things are taking place when you look at the gospel about this man Christ. Hey, you look through the scriptures anywhere in history, you never find another man like Jesus Christ. Never another man ever existed like Jesus Christ. Even Adam, in his day, nothing like Christ. In Jeremiah 31:22, it said, "The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, and a woman shall compass a man." Now, it bothered me when I read that. A woman shall compass a man. And I looked it up in Jeremiah, and what it means is that the woman that compasses a man is to carry about to accomplish one's end. Mary carried Christ about to accomplish the one's end. Jesus had to be born. What a wonderful lady called Mary that God found that he could plant the seed into her God's seed. And she carried the Son of God. If you look also in Isaiah, Isaiah makes this statement. He said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 about this one the woman compassed about. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government of shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then we go further and look in John chapter 1, verse 14, and God tells us this. And the Word was made flesh. We know the Word, according to verse 1 and 2, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Again, what a wonderful thing to see who this God-man is here at this time. The perfect, innocent, just, righteous man died. Hear me, strange things. The perfect, righteous, just man died as a vile transgressor, as a common criminal under the wrath of God. Why? Because God made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. That's a strange thing. You don't find that in all the 4,000 years of history in the Old Testament. The Lamb died, and God accepted the sacrifice to have fellowship with his people. But now, this is Christ himself. Literally, the just died in the place of the unjust. That's strange. The unjust might be made just. The innocent became guilty, that the guilty might become innocent. That's strange. That's not the way the court works in America and in the land of the earth, is it? The righteous one was made to be sin, that the sinful one might be made righteous. Death was conquered by death of the God-man. That's strange. The death on Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, was the strangest, most mysterious of them all. If he is God, how can you kill him? That's strange, isn't it? No one in the world has such a mess with it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, and you first start by trusting him as faith, it amazes how the Holy Spirit comes in and takes the word already written that's preserved for you and I and reveals these wonderful truths to us. How great he is. And that which strange now becomes a wonderful, strange thing. And we accept it by faith, you see, and know that God is taking care of all of it at one time. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Well, that's strange. Surely if he can save others, he can save himself. But he couldn't even be in the plan of God. It's hard for us to grasp that he could have saved himself, but yet he couldn't if we're going to be saved. Are you with me? Do you hear what I just said? Because of you and I, he would not save himself. Because that's the only way we could be called children of God. That's the only way we could be brought into the family of God. Christ, the innocent one, dying. This is strange. Christ, the innocent one, dying while Barabbas, the guilty one, is set free. That's strange, but that's called substitution. That's strange, but thank God for substitution, because without it, we can't be saved. Amen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing thing when you look at strange things. Say, well, that's not so strange when I know what I know. Hey, you begin to analyze what we know about what God's done for us, and it's strange. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't unravel it. It don't make sense. But it's amazing how he puts it together in systematic order, and we just rejoice all along the way because he's revealing to us just how God has brought us from where we were at to where we are now and where we're going to go. He's able to see us through all the way, and thank God for that as we look at him through eyes of faith. We're talking about substitution in this case. The eternal Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, listen, suffered and died as a man. That's strange. This is the strangest form of love and mercy and grace this world's ever seen. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him, shall not perish, have everlasting life. That's strange to ears who's trying to unravel something without the Holy Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 through 8, Paul made this statement to the Romans. He said in verse 5, hope making not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Verse 8, he said, but God commended his love towards us, and yet while we were yet sinners, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Strange things. So we know when they said, we've seen some strange things today. It's strange because of that particular day. And it was also strange because of what the gospel says about the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. What about the third thing, the strange things that are to be seen for our day? That's 2,000 years ago. What about in our day? What is it strange to be seen? A person who is found in a state of sin can literally be in a state of grace through Jesus Christ and leave this old world in a state of glory. That's strange. For a lot of folks don't look at the state of glory afterward. They look at some happy hunting ground, hope it's better, or reincarnation or something. But God has let us see not only in Christ are we finding ourselves delivered from a state of sin and put in a state of grace and going ahead to a place of glory. A self-condemned, helpless sinner can be completely justified in Jesus Christ, declared as if he'd never sinned. That's strange, but it's truth. It's Bible. God has imputed to us eternal life and has imputed to Christ our sins. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you and I can say together, we can say in Christ, I'll be around. Hear me, world. Hear me, Satan. I'll be around when the mountains are gone. I'll be around when the stars shine no more. I'll be around when there's no need of the sun or the moon anymore. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He has made it right and made it possible for us to have the very life that God Himself had. Eternal life, which is the life of God, which you and I get when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. And I say to you, it's strange in our day. God is committed to just love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is not secondhand information. I'm telling you what I've seen by faith in Christ. I'm telling you what Peter and Paul said they had saw with their physical eyes in Christ and trusted Him because they knew he was who He said He was. I've seen, and so have you if you've been soul winning. I've seen hard-hearted men and women transformed by the grace of God. That's strange. Nothing else would do it. You know, all kinds of groups and others couldn't do it, but the Word of God and the grace of God and the Spirit of God through the Word of God would draw someone to the Lamb of God, and hearts will be made soft. I've seen evil turn into good by God's hands. I've seen God transform lives. People who drunk and smoked and cussed and ripped and rare became citizens of heaven. Amen. And manifested it here on this earth as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about it, the only way you ever get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I read where a person said, he was in Time magazine a few years ago. He was a New Yorker. He tried to wheel his body to Harvard Science Department. And they wouldn't take it. That's why he wanted to wheel it there. And he said with his parents, and I quote what he said, he says his parents always wanted him to go to Harvard, and this is the only way he'd get in. I got news for you. If you want to go to heaven, the only way you're going to get in is through Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, now that, you know, there's a lot of folks who don't believe it. It makes no difference. Christ was a minority when he came. And he's still being talked about, and all of those that were there in that day, you don't even know who they are except described in their religious organization. So again, thank God for His precious Word. So we know also, as I quickly close, we know strange things on that particular day. Strange things tell us about Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And strange things are happening today. But the fourth thing I want you to note quickly with me is note the strange things that shall be seen in that eternal day. Believe me, it's going to happen. Strange things seen in judgment. There's a lot of folks don't think they're going to be judged. They think they weigh everything out here, good and bad, and you know it's going to come out good. Got to come out good because I see it. You see, I'm talking about myself now. I mean, I know I did some things that are bad, but I think I did more things that are good, and then on the way out, good here, good moral, religious men and women outside of Jesus Christ will be sentenced to eternal damnation in the future life. Strange thing it may seem to a heart that don't understand God, who is a just God, but it's true. He will do that. Yet on the other hand, vile, wretched sinners who simply trust Christ as their Savior, became a child of God through the blood of Christ, are going to be in heaven. By the way, once they got saved, they did not do the vile, wicked sinner mess anymore. A new creation came in. Strange things. There'll be strange things be seen in hell. People are begging for mercy, never find it. Pleading for mercy and never find it. People wanting to die, but death would flee from them, the Bible says. People trying to cry in hell, but not be able to even cry because they can't even get a thing as a tear fresh in hell, which would be a type of water. Grief and despair everywhere. Strange things in hell. But then there's going to be some strange things in heaven, too. Is that preacher? Now, wait a minute. Well, I guess everything would be strange, but there's going to be some strange things there you don't think of now. Did you know that? The saved will be like Jesus Christ, perfect, righteous, blameless, in a glorified body. John Newton said years ago, he said, when I get to heaven, I quote him, I shall see three wonders there. Now, he knew he was in Christ Jesus and saved. But he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see wonders. I know I'm going to see some wonders there, and one wonder is going to be this. He said, I will see many people there I didn't expect to see there. And he said, then the second thing, I'm going to see some folks that weren't there that I did expect to see there. You know the difference? Jesus Christ. And he said, though he's saved and trusted Christ as his personal Savior and believes in Christ, he said, the wonders of all wonders is when I find myself on the street of gold. Amen. Well, Satan do a lot of things in the mind to get us some time to kind of shake the faith, the reality of it, to be a substitute and be something else. The strangest of all strange things. The wonders of all wonders is that wretched, vile sinners can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. This merits upon Christ and his precious blood. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason this world looks at you and I as if we're out of our mind. And they're stopping everywhere they can, even in Clayton. When used to, you go anywhere, knock on the door. Now they're putting rules and regulations that you can't knock on the door and tell them about Jesus Christ. Why? Because most of them don't believe about him. And his name disturbs them. They can't get no rest. And they claim they're doing it because of all the other religious groups that's trying to do the same thing. When a lot of times they just fear that's there. I'm talking about some strange things the Bible talked about. Not only then, that particular day, not only the Gospels we can see later, not only that we see in our day, but in the future, hell and heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, let me give you two last things quickly, just a line or two to say, a word or phrase to say about it. One of the strangest things is how one can look at the record and still not believe. How one can look at the record and not believe. Why will one die the eternal death when life is set before you to accept and give you the record that God gave of his son of where this life is at? And yet, most people who hear the message that John tells us that that's what it is, will turn down Jesus Christ or walk away. So if they didn't really turn him down, they just didn't accept it right now. Hey, that's dangerous ground. Because you may say, well, you didn't accept it right now, didn't have quite enough information. Thank God if you give you some more information. If you die without the information of what God's already given, you're still going to hell without Jesus Christ. And finally, the lake of fire. And you and I who are saved, this is strange to me. And I believe, you'll be honest, it'd be strange to you. It is strange to me that we who have been saved, who have experienced this thing of eternal life, that we who have experienced so much love and grace from Christ and in Christ, that we return so little faith and love towards him. Be honest. Most of our lives are centered around ourselves, not around Jesus Christ. And when it comes, he tells us to do something, then it's going to fit our program, our schedule, or I'm just not going to do it and think that God ought to understand. What I want you to see, yes, we're dealing with strange things in our particular day given into this world. One of these days soon, you and I will have our, if God don't come back for the church, one of these days soon, you and I will have our obituaries read, written in the paper. It's going to be there. We're going to have it written in the paper. The amazing thing about it is, but when people read that, if you're saved, please hear me. When people read our obituary, who've been born into the family of God, that we died on such and such day, buried such and such place, we will be more alive than we've ever been. Amen. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's accepted or not accepted. The thing about this is, I was born January the 8th, 1940. Everybody's trying to copy me in birth. Amen. No, he was born, he's older than I am. The only thing we have in common. I was born again September 27, 1959. My second birth came by choice. My first birth, I had no choice over it at all. I heard a message. My first birth gave me the ability to live here for a while and live forever somewhere or another. And because of sin, God designated where the devil and his angels live at, unless Jesus Christ changes the course. And he can, and he has, if I'll trust him. September 27th, God redirected my life. He did more probably in the mid-60s. He just saved me then. He did more in the mid-60s and redirected it as I began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. What I want you to see is this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it dies. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and it lives forever. Strange to people. And they say, well, I don't know about ever. Maybe we come back to something else. Praise God, I have enough trouble with this body. I'd hate to come back as a deer. I might be swift, but sometimes they're not swift enough for some people, are they? Amen. Can you imagine coming back something else? Listen, you say, well, I don't believe. I believe you come back a higher life. Not if you believe in reincarnation, you're allowed to come back at what destiny to come back as. What I'm saying to you is simply this. We're going to live forever somewhere. A strange thing, but it's true. I think about a fellow who was down south, and he said that he was 103 years old. And they went and interviewed him. And he would get around pretty good living by himself. And the newspaper person asked him, said, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. A lot of readers like to learn. What is it, and why do you think that you live to be 103 years old? Can you give us some information? He said, yeah, just don't die. Well, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's strange about what the Lord has done. If you don't want to go to hell and you're not saved, don't die.
That's right. Amen.
Hear me what I said? But if you want to go to heaven to be with the Lord, when you die or when the rapture takes place, it's simple. It may be strange, but it's truth. Paul cried to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He did, and he was saved. And the message today is the same. If you hear it, you're not saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It may sound strange, but it's truth.
Amen.
It's Bible. Father in heaven, I thank you again for the precious word of God. For the sitting here of these people who sit so patiently to hear God's word proclaimed through a frail creature like I. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be able to exalt Jesus Christ in someone's heart. If someone is touched enough not saved, they need to be talked further, they come and let them know. Or female, if male or female come, take them to a prayer room and show them further what God's word has to say. That they may understand as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to their hearts about eternity and their lives. And Father, we ask that you this morning, now if here in this auditorium or via radio in just a few minutes, as the message is proclaimed on the air, someone will come to know Jesus. The Lord's success in this life is equated by a lot of things by other people religiously. Jesus said one day, what should accomplish a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? We want to exalt Jesus Christ as the means of eternal life. And then God will reveal success as a Christian thereafter once the Holy Spirit moves in. We plead this, we beg this. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.